You're listening to Comedy Central.
Survivor's back, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. And we have a twist, a new co-host, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
Hi!
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
March 1st, 2018. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Save your applause, you're gonna need it, because our guest tonight from Black Panther, His Royal Highness King T'Challa, champion, thank you, everybody. But first, it's a good thing we got a superhero today, because everybody, you might want a duck.
A stunning announcement from Vladimir Putin, an aggressive and defiant declaration of Russia's new nuclear capacity. Putin declared that Russia has, quote, a brand new weapon, a strategic nuclear missile powered by a nuclear engine. He claimed the new weapon has unlimited range. It can invade any missile defense system, delivering a nuclear attack devastating anywhere in the world.
Are you shitting me? We're still dealing with Kim Jong-un, and now Putin pops out and he's like, hashtag me too. No! Come on, man. Come on! And now, the missile might not look scary because the video looks like something out of South Park, but the idea of Russia having a missile that can evade all defense systems in the world should scare the shit out of you. I mean, unlimited range? Is this a missile or Meryl Streep? What the hell, man? But let's move on. There have been a lot of new developments in the debate over guns. Yesterday, Walmart announced it will no longer sell guns to people under the age of 21 or to dogs under the age of 3. Right? This wasn't working out. And it's just amazing that so far, a chain store is doing more about guns than Congress is. Especially because Congress is basically a building full of Walmart greeters, you know? It's just like, hi, welcome to Walmart. I do this because my grandkids won't talk to me. Now, in addition to Walmart, Dick's Sporting Goods also said it would do the same thing and that they won't sell assault weapons at all. Yeah. So now if you want to kill someone with something from Dick's Sporting Goods, you'll have to buy them football equipment and wait. But the big box stores aren't going to stop school shootings by themselves. So yesterday, President Trump invited lawmakers back to his apprentice set to discuss what can be done to stop gun violence. Now, if people came in expecting Trump to side with Republicans, they were in for a big shock, because Trump is unpredictable. Just when you think he's gonna zig, he punches you in the nuts.
President Trump shocked lawmakers in a bipartisan meeting on Wednesday, calling out the NRA, calling for comprehensive gun control measures backed by Democrats.
Lawmakers are confused after President Trump seemed to buck his own party.
Some of you people are petrified of the NRA. You can't be petrified.
Yeah, Donald Trump attacked his own party for being scared of the NRA. I did not see that coming. Like, that was the craziest twist since the end of Usual Suspects, you know? Yeah, like when we found out that Kevin Spacey molested Kaiser Soze, that was just mind-blowing. And if you thought Trump was going rogue when he attacked Republicans and the NRA, wait until you see him supporting the Democrats.
Mr. President, what do we do about weapons of war easily accessible on our streets?
Some
you go
money.
Into a store, and you can buy an AR-15.
You can.
You can buy a Tech-9. I mean, you can buy all these weapons.
Joe and Pat, you're going to have to discuss that. You'll sit down with Diane and everybody else, and you'll come up with something. And I think I really believe it has to be very strong.
Did you see that? Did you see the joy on Dianne Feinstein's face when Trump tells the conservatives to put her shit in the bill? Like, she looks happier than Ted Cruz on Halloween. He's like, finally, my doorbell rang. Yeah! All the Democrats in this meeting were giddy. Like, look at Amy Klobuchar when Trump shut down the Republicans' concealed carry idea. Like, all of a sudden, she's Jim from The Office. Like, are you guys seeing this? And this was pretty much how the whole discussion went. Trump supported all of the Democrats' gun control positions, right? Universal background checks, raising the minimum age to buy rifles, banning all domestic abusers from purchasing guns. Trump pushed all of their ideas. And it was so disorienting seeing a completely different side of Donald Trump. It's like finding out your grandma works part-time as a dominatrix, you know? That's right, they call me the queen of nipple play. And just like a dominatrix, President Trump truly pushed the limits. Because at one point, Mike Pence tries to step in and say, calm down, people. There will be due process before anyone's guns are taken away. And Trump was like, or...
But the focus is to literally give families and give local law enforcement additional tools if an individual is reported to be a potential danger to themselves or others. Allow due process so no one's rights are trampled.
Or might take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system, because a lot of times by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early. You know, the police saw that he was a problem. They didn't take any guns away. Now, that could have been policing. I think they should have taken them away anyway, whether they had the right or not.
Okay, my mind is going to explode. Donald Trump just said, F your rights, I'm taking your guns. Isn't that what he said Hillary was going to do? Yeah, Donald Trump flipped so much in this meeting. I was waiting for him to be like, the reason I sound like Hillary is because it's actually me. It was me all along. Yeah. It was just a wig and fruit roll-ups. I can't believe you fell for it. Lock me up. Now, look, this is an extreme position by Trump. It's even more extreme than the Democrats were asking for. And I guess yesterday, some people on the left got a glimpse of why Trump's people love him so much. He wants to take action, and he's not going to let anything stop him. And people on the right got a glimpse of why people are terrified of Trump on the left. He wants to take action, and he's not going to let anything stop him. And, like, we shouldn't really be surprised that Trump is flipping on guns. Because in his heart, he's never really been a gun nut.
My sons have been members of the NRA for many, many years, and they're incredible. They have so many rifles and so many guns, sometimes even I get a little bit concerned. I say, that's a lot.
You see? You see, that was the truth slipping out. You see that? Yeah. Although, I mean, to be fair, I also wouldn't want my kids having guns if one of them was Eric. I mean... Yeah, no. Forget guns. That guy should go through a background check before every smile. Come on now. But before you get too excited for your new gun grabber in chief, just remember what happened with DACA not too long ago. Trump was at that same table, agreeing with Democrats on immigration, and then 2 days later, Africans were from shithole countries and the whole thing fell apart. Yeah. So basically, I wouldn't be shocked if next week when Trump is talking about protecting schools, all of a sudden he's like, look, why do we care about these douchebag kids anyway? We need more kids from Norway, folks. More kids from... I didn't say douchebag, I said douche house. But at the end of the day, I think this whole meeting just proved how simple the gun issue really is at its core. Because every other issue, healthcare, taxes, you know, Trump has no idea what's going on. But with school shootings, he's like, guys, I think I figured it out. It might be the guns. Guns make the bang bang. Guns make the bang bang! I get it! We'll be right back.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is the star of the blockbuster movie, Black Panther. Please welcome Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, I didn't expect you to do that.
Welcome to what do you mean you didn't expect me to do that? Everywhere you go now for the rest of your life, you will be greeted like this.
You are not lying.
You are the king of Wakanda, my friend. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Oh, wow.
I've been a fan of yours for such a long time, and I've watched you go from film to film, and you've played some of the most iconic people on screen, but there is something truly different and magical about this character. Could you feel it when you were making Black Panther?
I think the whole cast, we knew how special this project could be. We knew what the comic book was. We knew what the whole idea of this technologically advanced nation in Africa, that, you know, essentially they're the oldest people on the planet.
Right.
That's that idea that it was a revolutionary one that we knew we could throw a lot of our passion into, and we didn't know how people would receive it. We didn't know, that it would be this sort of impact that
right.
we knew that it would be important to see a Black superhero. We knew that would be interesting. We knew that, you know, once people saw what these women were, that would impact some people. But you don't know if that's going to be a niche group of people that love it. And you also don't know if it's going to, if the studio is going to put everything they can into it.
Right.
And I have to give Marvel credit and Disney credit for, throwing the book at it,
right.
essentially, is what they did.
And that's really what they did. I mean, like the marketing worldwide, the way the story was presented, everyone on the cast. Because what made the story special was, I don't know if it was just me, it feels like Black Panther's powers come not just from his suit, but from his people.
From his tradition.
His tribe, from the women around him. It was really special to see a situation where it didn't feel like anyone was a sidekick. It felt like everyone was part of a team. Was that something that you were focusing on in the way you treated your stars in
yes,
every scene?
Absolutely. I felt like in order for him to be a good king, you know, one of the good signs of someone who is wise is that they disseminate responsibility.
Right.
And so I felt that, you know, his father would have taught him, you know, use everybody's skills. Don't try to do everything.
Right.
You can't be everywhere at one time. So it was important for Danai to be as strong as she is.
Uh-huh.
It was important for Lupita to be as strong as she is. And I felt like, what we had, as far as, you know, there's no real, I don't think there's a villain in this movie. I think you have two sides of the same coin.
Right.
The Killmonger story.
That's
and the T'Challa story.
Yeah.
We treated it that way. Michael and I kept ourselves separate and came together at certain points so that we could create this sort of tension on scene, but in the scenes. But it was a collaboration, I think, for everybody.
That's an interesting idea that there was no villain. It was two sides of a story. I mean, more than ever in America right now, people feel like, oh, there's a villain, there's no villain. It feels like every story needs to have that. But that's what made Black Panther so complicated. And I won't give any spoilers away, but it felt like a story where you truly did not know how you felt.
Mm-hmm.
You just had to work on how you felt about how the people were trying to do what they were trying to do.
Well, it doesn't let anybody off the hook.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and I think that's the key thing, is that I think when you everybody is the hero in their own story, you know,
right.
like you should be the hero in your own story. You should be, you should see yourself conquering, the dramatic action of whatever you're trying to do. So when you get the crisis, you know how to deal with it. You
right.
should be able to do that. And there are people that come in and help you with your story, but you have to be the person who deals with the conflicts that are in place. Nobody else can. There's no deus ex machina
right.
that's going to come in and save it for you. Even if you pray to God, God expects you to do some things. So I think you have to be that hero.
I know that I felt that, and I connected with so many of the characters in different ways, not just because of who they were and what they were doing, but also because of home. Like, I was really impressed by the fact that everyone in the movie had an African accent. And what was cool was it was African accents from different places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like M'Baku had a Nigerian-inspired
right.
accent, you know, and Nakia had an accent that had flair, like a bit of Kenya in there. And T'Challa came out, and there was a moment in the movie where I was watching you, and I was like, Why does this sound like a little bit of a young Nelson Mandela? There was like a, was there like a Xhosa inspiration behind the accent?
Absolutely, absolutely. That was the sound of my dialect coach.
Oh, wow.
And so I wanted that sound specifically because I felt like the clicks are an indication, like it's believed that languages that have the clicks, they're among the oldest.
Right,
and
right.
So
right.
I felt like that was a great sound for this particular character. And, you know, the point that you just brought up about each person having a different sound, we felt like we were taking the continent and sort of closing it in,
right.
Like compressing it and saying, everything that we love about the continent came from here.
Right, right.
So
right.
You can pull from every place because there's a dispersion from this, from Wakanda. So, yes, she could have a Kenyan hint in her accent. It also allows each actor to bring things that are close to them to the story.
Right.
So as opposed to, like, some people might be like, well, you can't just have this generalized Africa where people are picking from anything they want. But if it becomes from an organic truth and an organic DNA, uh-huh. which is what we did, then and everybody's on the same page, then it becomes something that is real.
So. Was a part of you worried though that everyone having African accents would be something that like the studio or even moviegoers wouldn't gravitate towards?
I wasn't worried.
So somebody was worried. Somebody was worried.
I wasn't, yeah. I wasn't worried because I had seen, I'd seen John Connie.
Right.
Doing Shakespeare. You know what I'm saying? I'd seen, who plays my father in the film. I had seen African Zulu Macbeth.
Right.
You know, I'd
right,
seen
right.
that before. So I knew, already knew it worked. I had seen that from my college years.
Right.
That this could work. You know, other people hadn't seen that. So I knew that that an African accent could carry all of that passion in the English language, you know, just as well as a British one could, if not better. For me, there was when I heard things like, people can't listen to that, you know, for an entire film, if, you know, they were just talking about me doing it. I was like, no, we're going to go to Wakanda one day. and if, in my mind, I was like, if I have a British accent right now, what's going to happen?
When the rest of the nation is speaking with a British accent.
I'm just picturing that scene.
It would be horrible.
I'm just picturing that cut out of the movie right now. It's like Black Panther coming back, and everyone's like, my king, you have returned. He's like, well, hello there, yes.
Yeah.
Well, hello. Good to be back.
When we were debating it, I had that nightmare. I had that nightmare. I was like, no, boy.
Like, the movie connected with so many people on so many levels. And one thing I really enjoyed was, I got to watch the film in New York City. I got to watch the film with many different people from different walks of life. Mm. I watched how it touched many African Americans. What I also loved, though, was how that authenticity translated back to Africa, back to South
right.
Africa. I saw people back home who embraced the movie just as much as people did here, which is not an easy thing to do because Africans get portrayed in a certain way in film.
Right.
And a lot of the time, I won't lie, we watch movies and we're like, who are they trying to imitate right now?
Right.
What part of Africa is this?
Right.
But people loved it back home. People loved it in the motherland. Was that something that was important for you? Did that touch you?
It I can't even put into words what that feels like because you know, on both sides, as an African American, and you know, seeing people from the continent, I've seen the divide for my entire life.
Right.
You know, I've grew up, and I remember hearing the term "African booty scratches" as an insult.
Right.
You know, I remember
right,
that.
Right.
And then I went through my phase of trying to find Africa and not knowing, well, which place am I from?
Wow.
You know, and I've seen Africans who viewed us in a particular way where you're not connected.
Right.
You don't know where you're from. And at the same time, love parts of our culture. So there's like this weird, there's been this weird dynamic.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know the oral tradition because I didn't grow up with it. You know, if I knew exactly where I came from growing up, I would have had an oral tradition from that place.
Right.
I never had that. So this movie, in a certain way, creates a story that we all share. And it's the first time that's, I feel like, that's ever happened.
Where I feel like
where it's like, okay, that's our story. That's our story, too. And I think part of that is because you have these two characters who have this collision.
Right.
And they have to go through each other and find out about each other. So even in fighting, there is a sense of kinship among them. And I think it's portrayed on screen where people accept it.
It's portrayed. It's welcomed. It's electric. And it's going to make $1 billion plus. So
congratulations. It's so amazing having you on the show. Thank you for everything you've done. I appreciate you.
Oh, my God.
Black Panther is in theaters now. Chadwick Boseman, everyone.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.